And when Isaiah 8, it starts with verse number 16, it said, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. And then the prophet Isaiah says, and I will wait on the Lord, who hides his face from the house of Jacob. That's Israel after the flesh. It's not the elect. And I will hope in him. Oh, here is the first thing. And we have here from God is to put our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is to put our actual hope in Him for power over sin. Power over sin is a big part of the gospel. It is absolutely mandatory that I be able to control my life by the power of God that's in the gospel. That I be able to live uprightly is a proof that the gospel has come unto me in power. If I can hear it and I can understand it, but I can't actually live it, it's because I haven't understood the gospel in its power, and I have not actually put my trust in Christ Jesus. Because my hope is not there. And so what I'm saying, and what he's saying here, is to put your trust in him to live the Christian life. One, because he forgave us of our sin. His forgiveness is the start of obedience. But he told that woman, I don't condemn you. Now you go and you sin no more. And so this actual no condemnation as in Christ is because he's answered our accusers. And either do I condemn you. He had that right as God, as the one that's holy, as the one who has no sin, he had the right to condemn us, just like he had the right to condemn that woman, because he and you are sinners, and we are as evil and as awful as anybody that ever lived. It is me and you are sinners, and he and you are born dead and depraved, and we are actually desperate in our sins. And the condition is not if I murder, if I rape, if I steal, or if I lie. That's not the condition. It's the condition is I cannot and I will not come unto God. That's how desperately depraved a human being is. He won't trust God. And he won't even believe the gospel to save his life and his eternal soul. He would rather perish in hell than to believe on Christ Jesus. That's how desperately wicked a man is. He will choose his sin over God every single time. But then, unto be born again is to mean that your sins, thy sins, are forgiven by the sovereign grace of God. is because he said, neither do I condemn you. And so he bore our condemnation. He actually took it upon himself at the cross of Calvary. He paid, he suffered, he died, and so that the wrath that was supposed to come upon us, it came upon him. And that's why there is forgiveness and cleansing. Mm-hmm. Every single time the Son of God forgives a person, is he also cleanses the same person. They are gifts in both of his hands. Arthur Pink said that when Christ comes unto the sinner, it is with two gifts. It's forgiveness and it's a holy life. It's cleansing. This is the gift of God. This is salvation. So put your trust in him to live this holy life that is mandatory. It's non-optional if I'm going to obey God or not. I have to. And I'm a new creation, so I can by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you see, the problem is that the people, one, is the people look at themselves and then they say, I can't. I can't change. I can't do it. And they look at their failures, the problems, the temptations, the whole actual struggle with sin. It's because overcoming sin is the hardest thing in the world. It takes a miracle. It's much harder than to make money. That's easy as compared to overcoming my sin and my lust, right? But the scripture is not saying trust in yourself. It's not saying that this new holy life is not mandatory. That's a lie. It is mandatory. If we just read it. But trust in Christ Jesus to forgive you and cleanse you and make you able to live this holy life, or you're going to hell. If I don't live as God has told me to live, it's because I don't know the gospel of God's grace. So put your trust in him and my trust in him for something that's concrete and mandatory. It's a holy life. It's Christian living. And if me and you have that, we really shall go to heaven one day. And we really do have the peace of God. And the power over sin is the sweetest thing that's in our life. There is absolutely nothing more important to me and to you than power over sin. It's more important than money. It's more important than life. It's more important than breath. It's more important than health. It's more important than anything because it is my salvation and it's my whole peace with God. If I don't have power over my sin, I don't have peace with God. And I'm heading to hell when I die. That's a horrible thing. And for the believer to not have a clean conscience. It's because he doesn't have power over sin by the blood of Christ. And so he's making excuses for his life instead of repenting. And he's really, in actuality, he is trusting in himself. His knowledge, his word, but not the word of God. It's just me taking a few verses. But if I don't take the whole counsel of God, I'm trusting in myself. And it's my own interpretation instead of truthfully trusting in the Word of God. You hear me so far? It's clear. Good. Let's go back into the scriptures. Then after I'm done, and so each point I have these 4 points, and after each point, if you have a question, if you have a comment, it's fine, and if not, I'll keep going. And then at the end, if you have a question, if you have a comment, it's fine. Because we're here to help each other. And we're here to worship God. So, verse number 18. Through 20. And the Lord Jesus is actually quoted as saying this in Hebrews 2. The scripture says here, am I, and the children whom the Lord has given me. It says the me and you.
You know, Isaiah is,
yes.
18.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So here am I, the children whom the Lord hath given me. It says that me and you are signs and wonders in Israel. That's our holy life. It's our redemption. It's our faith in Christ. An evidence of the sovereign grace of God is me and you who believe the gospel and live unto good works, who put our trust in, our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Me and you are walking miracles. That's the true miracle. That's the true sign and wonder. It's a holy life. He's still making miracles happen in people by actually making us obedient and giving us power over our sin. As we are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, it is His doing. Who dwells in Mount Zion. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and are wizards, or who play with the dead. That's the main thing. And who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? No, you don't want to seek men who don't know God that are spiritually dead. Verse number 20, but to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it's because there is what? What's the scripture say? I'm asking. Are you with me? It's Isaiah 8, verse number 20. There? And so what's it say?
There's no mourning for them.
It is no mourning in them. I don't know what is your translation, but it is no light in them.
Mourning is mourning, as in deep.
Yeah, light.
There's no mourning for them.
There's no dawn in them. Is the light of the gospel has not come unto them? And so what's this scripture saying? It's saying that if people are giving us wisdom, and it's not the light of the gospel, it's not the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the blessed face of Christ Jesus shining according unto the scriptures, then it's not from God, it's not light, it's not true wisdom. And so a man that's in darkness, he can tell me how to make money, right? But he can't tell me how to live. And I have a friend that's into astrology, but she's also a believer of the gospel. And so what she says is that these things of astrology are real, but they don't actually rule over us. And so you look at the stars, and I was actually born on this particular day, and so I'm a Libra, or I'm a Capricorn, or I'm a Cancer, or I'm a Taurus. But as to what she says is that it is part of her personality trait that she has to bring in subjection unto Christ Jesus. But the Bible is even more plain than that. I'm a new creation. I am not who I was by nature. In my first birth, I came out of my womb in filthy rags as a sinner, just like you did. I was born with a nature that is evil and hates God and loves sin. Just like you. But I have been born again now by the Spirit of God and the living Christ. And that's why he told us, if you turn back quickly into Ephesians 4, he told us in you there? In Ephesians 4, verse number 17 through 24.
Let me say this then, speaking for the Lord. 17.
Let me say this then, speaking for the Lord. We no longer ask. For they are blinded and confused. Their closed hearts are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds against him and they cannot understand his ways. Verse 19. They don't care anymore about Christ around and have given themselves over to the inferior ways. Instead of attracting pain driven by their evil minds and reckless lust. Verse 20. But that isn't the way Christ taught you. Verse 21, if you have really heard his voice and learned from him the truth concerning yourself, then throw off your old nature, the old you that was the partner of your evil ways, rushing through and through, full of lust and shame.
It's fine. So from verse number 17 it says this, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. So even though I've been born like this, and I've lived like this my whole life, now that I'm a new creation in Christ, I've heard the word of God, I'm to now walk in a totally different way, in a totally different direction. So if there is any wisdom of man that is contrary unto a holy life, that is contrary unto the Scriptures. I'm to reject it and to see all of my wisdom from the Word of God. It's the way to look up unto God is how. There's only one way I can look up unto God, is to look at Him through His Word. If I lift up my head on high and I scream, God, 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 I love you, if it's not according unto His Word, I don't know Him and I'm screaming unto an idol. And so you lift your head up towards God is by having your eyes in this book. If it's not according unto Scripture, it's not real. Our whole life now is to be based upon the written Word of God. It's our instruction. It's our counsel. If you're making noise, then you have to be quiet now. So you either sit here, or you sit there, or you can sit with Frank. But you must be quiet now, okay? Or you sit with your dad. But no distractions. We're here to hear the gospel. And so everybody, hearts and minds, be locked in on the gospel. This is the Word of God. And anything contrary to it, it will send us to hell. It's not wisdom. It's not how we live. It isn't as to how I think about myself. I'm changed. And everything that's about me and you now is being told us in the written Word of God, in the Bible. You hearing me?
Yes.
Is it making sense?
Yes.
It's clear. Okay, good. Let's go back into Isaiah 8. And then we'll read in verse number 21 and verse number 22. And it says in Isaiah 8, verse number 21, "He will pass through with hard pressed and hungry. And it shall happen as to when they are hungry, that they shall be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward." But that's not with repentance. That's not through the Word of God that's in the Bible. It's in their anger. It's in their hatred of God as they're being punished. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness. It shall be gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. So, if we don't hear the gospel, if we reject His Word, if we twist His Word, there's no hope for us at all. It's only hell. It's only blindness. It's only guilt and shame. It's only the hardening of our heart. But me and you, Frank, have escaped the darkness, and we are now in the light. But look at verse number 9. "But nevertheless, the gloom, this great darkness, it will not be upon her who is distressed, who knows I'm a sinner, who confesses my sin, who acknowledges I failed, who is not trying to cover it up, that's not ignorant unto the Word of God." It's in the book of Acts, as when our brother Stephen was preaching. It's the Pharisees and the priests and religious folk. Just before they killed him, what did they do? You know, they stopped their ears and they gnashed upon him with their teeth. They screamed out at him with hatred and anger. But they put their hands over their ears. If I don't read a word of, if I read a word of God and I don't like it, it convicts me. It helps me to change. It actually shows me as to where I'm wrong. If I dash upon it, if I cover my ears, I'm going to stay in darkness and I'm going to curse God for all of eternity. But if I hear this word of God and I'm convicted of my sin, this gloom of everlasting wrath, it shall not come upon me. I'm distressed. I'm convicted. I'm a sinner. Then the text says, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her. Is the he is who in the text? Is the he is in the text? We listening. Is the he that's in the text? And so who is the he? Have to get the text out. Who's the he in the text? Who's the he, sister? It's the he in the text is in, it's in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 1. Please read along.
Is God.
It's God. It's God. He is the oppressor of some and the reliever of other people's oppression. He gives some men blindness and hardness of heart and punishes them. And he gives some men mercy. And it's in the text.
Yes.
It's who shall obtain mercy? It's those by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. Let's read my next point.
Yeah.
That even though God, he persuades some people unto destruction. And I want you to hear what I'm saying. He persuades some people unto destruction. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a what?
Lie.
That they all might be damned who did not love the truth. And so if I hear the truth and I despise it, he will send me a lie that I will embrace. And it's in the miracle workers. But he will send that lie and I'll embrace it and I'll be damned because when I heard the truth, I didn't love it. I didn't care. And so God will do that to some people, and he's doing it all over. In Africa, in Nigeria, I hope not in this house, but he will do it. But at the same time, this exact same God He will take people that are oppressed and distressed, even the Gentiles, and He will give us what? Salvation. And so it's pictured by Israel. This nation heard and heard and heard, and they rejected Christ. And then what happened unto them? His scripture said from Romans 11, that the Almighty God, He blinded them. It's in Romans 11, and I believe it's in verse number 6. It's in Romans, no, it's in verse number 7. Of Romans 11, verse number 7. If you can read that, please, Frank.
No. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, that the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded.
Exactly. And so Israel. Mm-hmm. So Israel.
Let me say the miracle, sir.
Has a gospel. But they disregarded it. Is they lost it because they did not pay any attention to it. And then God. Is He took it away? Is He blinded them? Oh, that they could not actually see it. And their hardness of heart, it actually led them to be unable to see their error. But then God, He still gave it unto the elect. And so what the text is saying in Isaiah is that even though there are people in chapter 9, verse number 1, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards more heavily oppressed her. That's the bondage of guilt and shame. By the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. And so even though the Jews have rejected Christ Jesus, salvation has gone out unto the Gentiles. And so what He's telling us is this. If God will harden some, He will still have mercy upon you and me if we seek His mercy. Just because He's hard on some and cruel in His wrath and in His holy justice, and He punishes them, and the penalty is paid, injustice, He's still merciful unto any oppressed sinner that says, Lord, forgive me, help me, change me, make me able to obey God. I humble myself, I fall before you. I'm wrong. I have not done what is right. I have not believed as to what is right. I have not taught the truth. And I need to repent. And you know, brother, that's how I am all the time. It's how He recovered me. He brought me unto admitting my sin. But not only that, that I have to obey you. And then I looked up to Him and I put my trust in Him for this power that's over sin. And He helped me. Just as He promised, this gloom, it will not come upon those who are distressed. And it's going to be upon others. But the ones that He will save are the Gentiles, who picture us who are far off sinners. It's the Gentiles had no hope and had absolutely no mercy. But then God stretched out His hands toward them in Christ Jesus, us. He saved us after Israel turned their back on Him. And so the thing I learned is, even though He's cruel in His punishment of the wicked, it's an everlasting hell. He blinds men. He hardens men. He takes away what they think that they know and what they could have had. And He punishes them. He's still merciful unto everybody that calls upon His name. So, don't let His hardness make you think He's not soft and very gentle with sinners. And so actually, as to what I'm asking you, is to confess your sin. And to really be a sinner. And to put your trust in Him for a holy life. Because it's mandatory. And if I don't live according unto the Word of God, it's going to be over for us. But if we admit that and acknowledge it, and we break down and we humble ourselves, right? He will have mercy upon us. He will save us. He will cleanse us. And He will give us a holy life. And the joy that you and I are hungry for, it's in Christ Jesus. It's a paradise in Christ right now. Don't think if I give up sin or my own life or my own rule, or if I obey His verse, or if I change my thinking towards Scripture and become obedient, I'm going to lose joy. Oh, you're going to gain joy. It's the joy that you never yet experienced until you get an obedient life. It's the joy of a clean conscience. It's the joy of not going to hell when you die, not being scared of death. It's the joy of a real assurance. It's the joy of communion with God and actual fellowship. It's joy of power over sin. It's the greatest joy imaginable. And it's for every wicked and every desperate sinner that's in Christ Jesus, by faith in the Son of God, and puts their hope in Him for this holy life that comes through the forgiveness of our sin. So this is the gospel. I hope that you take heed to it and that you live it. It is a real experience. It is to be lived. That's what you said earlier. That this holy life is mandatory. This is the only way. It's going to be by the gospel as a sinner that obtains mercy. And if I can't admit my sin, I'm perishing. I'm going to hell forever if I don't admit my sin. I'm just proud and self-righteous. But if I stay there, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Then that is a worthless salvation if it doesn't mean I'm saved by grace to live a holy life. And I'm a saint now. I'm a new and transformed person by the power of the grace of God that's in the gospel. And this is a struggle. That's why we have to put our trust in God. It's impossible with men, but it's mandatory. I got to do it. It's the most important thing in my life is to live a holy life. And if I cannot do that, I don't have any peace with God or in my conscience or in my mind. And I'm in trouble with my sin up over me. And that's not how to live. It's to live with your sin up under you in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's happiness, is peace, is joy, is contentment, is forgiveness experience inside of your heart with power. With power. Is there any questions? Yes. So let's pray first, and then after the prayer, then let's hear from each other. And so our Father, as we hear your word, it is with a poor vessel. It's with shaking, it's with trembling, it's with fear. It's with sinners. And you have to come down by your grace and by your glory and give this holy blessing by your Holy Spirit. But we are sure that this is the message of the hour. This is the word of God. This is your text properly opened. So give it power and give it life for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And bring the conviction of sin. Do what I cannot do inside of the heart with power. And crush it and humble it and make us to see that Christ is all. And make us cry out with power for the power of the Holy Spirit. A cry of faith. That's echoed by God crying inside of our hearts, Abba Father. Help us to hear from you. To speak from you. And to live for your glory. Our Father, for Christ's sake, bless these families here. Bless the Edu family. Bless these children. Make them to hear with power and a brand new life. Make them a testimony unto this city of what the power of God can do and the truth of the gospel. A sign and a wonder, a miracle that a man with no church may have the best family. Make that happen here for Jesus Christ's sake. And for the glory of your great name, and don't allow us to think small of you, of your power of change. Help our brother Frank in the power of the Holy Spirit to live a holy life. Help and bless this family here that they may live by the gospel truth and with its power. That they may bring you glory in a saving way. help me to believe and to preach your gospel and to live uprightly, Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit and not in my own power, but by faith. And we ask you lastly to help our Daisy, who is not here but would want to be, but to hear your gospel, believe your gospel, and deliver unto the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You see,